I want us to start off this morning with a couple of questions. Some things that I'd like for each of us to think about and to answer very honestly, to answer for ourselves, not to answer for someone else, as tempting as that sometimes may be. I want us to think about how these answers would apply to us. In describing your life as a Christian, would other people use the term faithful? Not what you would use to describe you, but others, if they were talking about your life and talking about your manner of living and the way that you serve God, would faithful or faithfulness be a term that they would choose to use? Let's just take that consideration a step further, maybe to a higher level. Would God say that you are faithful to Him? If God were to speak on your behalf, would He say your life is a life of faithfulness to Him and to the Lord Jesus Christ? Here's the third one, and then we'll get on with our lesson. What about you? Would you say that you are faithful? And specifically, would you be able to say that you are faithful to the Lord's church? Is that what you would say? Now, maybe you've figured out by now that we're going to be talking about the subject of faithfulness. I remember hearing Brother Neil Pollard talking about a young man that he met on one of his mission trips. He was in Cambodia, I believe, and he met this young man who was very impressive. In fact, this was a young American who was seemingly well-educated and very articulate and seemed to have a heartfelt desire to improve the world as far as he could reach and as far as he could with his own abilities. This young man that Brother Pollard described grew up in the church. He had even attended a Christian, quote unquote, Christian Brotherhood University. But Neil learned in talking to him that since he had left home and gone out, or since he'd left school and gone out on his own, he had ceased his association with the church. And when asked about it, he said this. He said, "I don't consider myself unfaithful, but I'm not attending the church right now. I guess you could say," he said, "I'm taking a break. I'm taking a break." Now, we started out a minute or two ago with those three questions, and I've got a few more questions in mind, and we're going to let them form the basis of our study this morning, questions that I think are very important. Like, for example, do we actually have a good working definition of the word faithful? Second question I want us to look at is, how important can faithfulness really be? And then the third question we'll deal with is, can we claim faithfulness without really demonstrating it in an outward way? When it comes to that term, what comes to mind when you hear that term, faithful? Or maybe you've got some definite ideas, some ways that you would define that term, or it may be that you're like me and probably the first thing that comes to mind are the faces of certain people. When I hear the term faithful, There are some saints that I've known through the years that seem to be the sterling example of faithfulness to the Lord, faithfulness to Jesus Christ and to His body, the church. What do you think about when we use the term faithful? I'm not so sure that we haven't let that word become admittedly a spiritual catch-all. At the very least, a synonym that's mostly used to indicate regular worship attendance. I think that's unfortunate. Because I think the term faithful encompasses far more than just the pattern that we exhibit in our attendance to worship services. Oh, I certainly believe that's part of it. I don't believe a person can be faithful to the Lord's church if he or she has no desire to attend the worship services, the regularly scheduled efforts to come together and encourage and praise and learn. But I think there's more to it than that. I'm thinking that faithfulness, according to the scriptures, involves a lot of things. In fact, it's far more complex than a lot of people would be comfortable with saying. I'm fairly certain that the terms faithful and faithfulness reside in that realm of things or of terms that we know they're important and we think we know their meaning. We just have a hard time putting the meaning into words. So maybe that's what's behind this effort to study. Maybe that would be a good reason for us to have a study like this, a good reason to open our Bibles and to take a brief journey into how the Bible uses this term faithful and what that term means and what it should mean to you and me. So let's go back to that list of questions from a minute ago and let's tackle the first one as we study the matter of faithfulness or faithful. Faithful, what does it really mean? Do we even have a good, as we say sometimes, working definition of faithful? It's a pretty common word in the Bible. In the King James translation of the Bible, there are at least 110 times, maybe more, that the Bible uses some form of that word faithful. Faithful, faithfulness, faithfully. 110 times. About 50 of them are in the New Testament and about 60 times in the Old Testament scriptures. Now, it is a fact that especially in the Old Testament, the majority of references speak of God. And certainly that's one of the things that we know of God. We know that for sure. And we love the fact that God is faithful and that His Word tells us how faithful He is. We know that God keeps His promises. We know that He does what He says He will do. We understand that we can rely on whatever it is that God has told us. But there are several key characters in the Old Testament that share that trait according to what the Scriptures say. For example, Moses in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 7, God described Moses by saying, "He is faithful in all my house." That was such a significant reference to Moses and to his spiritual character, because I think that's a part of what faithfulness has to be. It is an element of our spiritual character. This faithfulness of Moses, where God says he is faithful in all my house, was so significant that the writer of Hebrews in chapter 3 quoted from that same passage and described Moses in that very same way as being faithful to God. Hezekiah was another one of those in the Old Testament scriptures who was described as being faithful. In fact, in 2 Chronicles chapter 31 and verse 20, it says that Hezekiah wrought that which was good and right and faithful before Jehovah. That was one of the things that he was known for. After his time, as people would describe Hezekiah, they would say that his life was an exhibition of things that were good and right and faithful before God. You may recall that the book of Daniel is written in the Chaldean language originally. That was the language of the Babylonians, the Chaldeans. It's interesting that there is a little different word used in the book of Daniel from the word that is translated into faithfulness in the description of Moses. The word that is used for Moses and Hezekiah and other Old Testament characters is a word which has one of the primary meanings as, you ready for this? Permanent. Permanent. Isn't that an interesting concept? Permanent. In other words, not turning aside, not getting sidetracked, not wavering away, but permanent. Let's try to translate that into present day concepts. Would it be fair to say that your life, my life as a child of God, is an exhibition of permanence? You see, those things that are permanent are also, to some extent, predictable. In other words, you know how it's going to go. Wouldn't it be a good thing if people could describe us in that very same way as a Christian? Wouldn't it be good if someone were sitting around and talking about something and they'd say, well, I can tell you, brother so-and-so, I know how he'll stand on that. I know where she will come from in this question. I know her. I know this is what she's going to say. Because a part of that concept of permanence in faithfulness is the fact that we're predictable. And that's a good thing. The word, though, in the Chaldee language that's used there in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 4 is the word which has as a part of its definition the English word sure. Now, when I think of sure, I think of something that we don't have to wonder about. Something that we don't have to worry how it's going to turn out. That was Daniel. Daniel chapter 6 verse 4 says he was faithful, or he was sure, neither was there any error or fault found in him. There's one other verse I want to call your attention to in the Old Testament, and that's a passage that refers to the Israelites in the wilderness. And by now you may already have figured out that this is not a positive reference. This is a negative reference. In Psalm 78 in verse 37, the children of Israel are described in times when they fell away from serving the Lord in this way. For their heart was not steadfast toward him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. In other words, they had some problems. going in the wrong direction, chasing after the wrong things, getting tangled up in things that caused them to be remembered as unbelievers. Now, in the New Testament, we find the word normally means sure and true. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul talks about stewards. You know that a steward was a servant, in the literal sense, a servant that was placed over a household with the responsibility of managing the day-to-day operations of the household. A very responsible servant, a servant that possessed the qualities, the traits of being very faithful, being very steadfast, of being very sure and very true. That's the kind of person you wanted to set as the steward over your house. We find Jesus using that term also in some very familiar passages. For example, in Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, which is actually the parable of the talents. You remember to the five-talent man who earned five more talents, and to the two-talent man who earned two more, but not to the one-talent man who buried his talent in the ground and didn't have anything else to show for it other than the original talent when his master came back asking for an accounting. But to the other two, what was it that Jesus said? The master said to them, "Well done, good and faithful servant." In Luke chapter 12 and verse 42, Jesus tells the parable of the good manager. Again, a steward over a household. And Jesus refers to him as a wise and faithful manager. But now the one that I wanted us to get to most of all is the one that Brooks read to us from Acts chapter 11 and verse 23 just a few minutes ago as he read our reading at the beginning of the service. This is a reference to Barnabas going to the young church there at Antioch. Barnabas having been sent by the brethren in Jerusalem because those folks in Antioch were just starting out and they needed a lot of teaching and help and encouragement. And there in Acts chapter 11, we read that Barnabas went there, and when he came and saw the grace of God, that means when he saw how those people in their lives and in their obedience were exhibiting the grace of God, he was glad and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. Now, I got to tell you, there's a different word in the original Greek language here in the writing of this particular verse. It's a word which literally means adhered to, stuck to, or fastened as with glue. And so what Barnabas encouraged these young Christians to do and to be was to be glued to the Lord. Glued to the Lord. And it's not an unknown concept to us, because in our modern terminology, we may describe a couple of people who are always together or maybe always having the same response to everything, and we might say that they are joined at the hip. Same idea. Barnabas taught those young Christians, if you want to be successful in serving God, stay glued to Jesus. Stay glued to Jesus. The New American Standard Version renders it to remain true to the Lord. Are we true to the Lord? It's interesting that we understand full well what it means to be true to something or true to someone in the secular sense. But I'm afraid sometimes we may lower the standards a little bit in the spiritual world. It's pretty noticeable when someone is true to his wife or true to his family or she's true to her husband. Many of us can relate to the idea of being true to our alma mater, or let's generalize it and say true to our team. But somehow being true to the Lord, for some folks, seems to reside in a gray area that we're not really all that able to define. So let's go to the second question as we try to get a better grip on this term, faithful. The second question, you may remember, was faithfulness. Is it really that important? How important is faithfulness? Suppose someone says, and I hear people ask this question a good bit, they might say, how faithful is he? How faithful are they? Are they really very faithful? You know, the more I think about that, the more I fear that we may be guilty of putting spiritual faithfulness in a category of degrees. Degrees of faithfulness? You suppose that's a real concept? Let's bring this into a realm that we can readily understand. Ladies, if the question is asked about your husband, is your husband faithful to the marriage? And you give the answer, well, he's fairly faithful. Or, well, yeah, most of the time. I think you understand my point here. That would be a less than proper arrangement. Are these valid terms? Sort of faithful? Or a little faithful? Or faithful most of the time? If faithful to the Lord is true to the Lord, then could it ever be acceptable to be less than true to the Lord? You'll have to decide that for yourself. But I think most of us are well able to see what the real answer to that kind of a question really is. Scripture makes it very clear. In fact, God places a great deal of emphasis on the matter of faithfulness among His children. In the Lord's conversation, for example, with the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus found a problem with their conduct. In fact, He found a lot of problems. If you have your Bible, you may want to turn over there to Matthew chapter 23. And here Jesus, in talking to the scribes and Pharisees, there was one aspect of their conduct that he talks about small things and big things. You remember that part? It's in verses 23 and 24. He talks about weightier matters of the law. He said, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint, dill, and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and, oh, he mentions that very one by name, and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Oh, you blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing the camel. It's obvious that Jesus considers faithfulness as one of the weightier matters of serving God. In the parable of the talents that we made reference to just a few minutes ago, you remember how Jesus characterized the first and second man against the third man? Good and faithful servants versus wicked and lazy servant. In that parable, the distinction is obvious. The good and faithful were pleasing to God. The one who was not good and faithful was wicked and lazy. Now, there are some people who have been heard to suggest that maybe faithfulness is a very personal, even a very private or internal thing. It may not necessarily be outwardly visible at all times, I've heard people say. And the implication is we don't need you preachers preaching about something like this because I got this. This is in me. This is personal. You know, that idea doesn't seem to match up very well with what Paul taught in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, where he lists some very demonstrable qualities, things that we are to be known for practicing. We've given a name to this list. In fact, the scriptures give it a name: the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Third and final question. Faithfulness. Is it just a claim, or does it have to be demonstrated? Let's turn to something else as an illustration of the answer to this question. Is God faithful? How do you know? You say, well, it's obvious that God is faithful. The faithfulness of God, as you said at the very beginning, preacher, the faithfulness of God is something that we delight in. We love to be able to count on the faithfulness of God. But how do we know? Well, you say, the Bible tells us that indeed it does. In passages like Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4, which describes God in this way, the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. And then there's Psalm 33. Verse 4, which says, for the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 1 says, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will give thanks to your name, for you have worked wonders, plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. Now, according to all of those passages, we know that God is faithful because of his work and his ways and his words and his plans. In other words, God doesn't just claim it, he demonstrates it. God demonstrates his faithfulness. How could we be any different? Faithfulness is not just a claim, not just something we brag about. It is something that we do. Here's a song written by John Moore entitled, "Find Us Faithful." We're pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. After all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. And then the chorus says this: "Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful." What about you? What about me? Faithfulness, according to everything that we can learn from God's Word, is a demonstration. It's not a claim. It's not all about attending worship services. That's part of it. But it's about learning and growing and giving and teaching, and setting the right examples, and helping, and encouraging, so that all who come behind us find us faithful. If you're not a child of God this morning, if you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you've not yet begun your life of faithfulness. That is a life, according to Scripture, that may involve some challenges. In Revelation 2, verse 10, the verse that probably more preachers quote than any other verse on the subject of faithfulness, we don't even quote the whole thing, we just quote the last part of it, which says, "Be thou faithful unto death, thou shalt receive a crown of life." Because the first part of that verse says, there will be those who will persecute you, and you will live at times under threat and even imprisonment. But he says, be faithful all the way to death. Kind of changes things when you look at the whole verse, doesn't it? It's not, what's that word we use? It's not a cakewalk. It's not something that's easy. A life of faithfulness requires some really hard decisions. We begin that life by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism in order to become a new creature, a child of God. And then we must live a life of faithfulness all the way. If you've already become a child of God by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, but have become less than faithful in your service to Him, The way is still there, ready to be walked. The path still leads to glory. But you've got to come back and get back on it. And God wants that for you more than anything in this world. If you need to respond to the Master's invitation in any way, we invite you to come forward as we stand together and sing this song.